The Vectors Radio podcasts are sponsored by Break the Cycle CIC, rebuilding self-esteem in people who have experienced domestic abuse. For more, email hello@breakthecycle.org.uk.
On the line, I've got Andrew Nordbrook from White Computers. Good afternoon, Andrew.
Hi, Kelvin.
Right. We just want to talk to you today about people in their homes have got many more things which are connected to the internet, things like doorbells and I've even heard toasters. But can these things be secured from sort of a malicious attack and that kind of thing?
There are some steps you can do to help secure them better. It definitely is a legitimate concern to be worried about having these smart devices in your home. As you say, good examples are doorbells, which are very popular. That's something that's essentially outside your home, in that it's showing you perhaps who's at the door. But I am more concerned about the ones inside your home. So, for example, there have been reports of baby monitors, which are connected to the internet, being hacked, and strangers being able to look at those sort of video feeds remotely, which is obviously very worrying.
Indeed.
I always say, for smart devices, do you really need it? There are a lot of these smart devices which I feel are unnecessary. Mm-hmm. They do have obviously great features, being able to access things remotely, so over the internet, and being able to monitor your home when you're away. But I feel if you are going to go with one, make sure you use a major brand. It is a good start.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of cheaper brands that are just sort of random Chinese firms you've never heard of, and they are typically the ones that have the relaxed security, so they don't have many good features in there to protect you. You always need to make sure you keep the software up to date as well.
Mm-hmm.
So just as with anything in the world of IT, keeping software up to date is key. And another good thing you can do is to set up a guest Wi-Fi network. So many modern routers have an option for this. It effectively has a separate Wi-Fi network that comes up when people search if they're around your house and they want to use your Wi-Fi, so you don't have to give away your main Wi-Fi password. And this means that all of your own devices are then separated mm-hmm. from the rest of the devices on the guest network. So put anything that you don't really trust, such as a smart device, on your guest Wi-Fi network, and it helps protect your more private information then that's on your own devices.
Oh, right. Okay, so you can effectively have two Wi-Fi networks in your own house. One is for, as you say, guests or the not-so-trustworthy equipment, and one is for your own personal use.
Yeah, precisely. So it doesn't cost you any more. It's just a feature that needs to be built into your router, and a lot of them have this now. It just isn't necessarily on by default. So, yes, if guests come round or if you have anything that you're not too sure of, put it on the guest network. It means it still has internet access, so those internet-connected features will work, but it separates them off from your more private stuff.
And so people can find out how to do that by basically looking at the instructions for their router.
Yeah, so most people stick with a router that comes with their internet provider, and if you speak to your internet provider directly, they'll be able to guide you through enabling that if it is something that's already offered, or if you wish to upgrade to a different router, there are routers out there which have that. So as I said, most modern routers already have that built in.
Okay, so that's one thing you can do, and as you say, keep the software up to date and buy a recognised brand.
Yeah, the other key thing you can do, it all comes back to basic IT advice of passwords and how mm-hmm. secure your accounts are online. So as always, we say use a secure password. So all of these services will typically have a username and password for you to access your device when you're out of your home. And you should have a unique password for each website or service you have, ideally. And I know it's a huge pain for everyone to remember 50 or 100 passwords that are all different. Of course, that's not practical. But there's software out there called password managers, which will help you do this. There are free options out there, and there's some that you pay a couple of pounds a month for. And they basically generate really, really long passwords that you would never remember on your own, but they're nice and secure, and it remembers them all for you.
Okay, so these are the sort of things you could have in your mobile phone or your tablet or whatever that has all those passwords ready to go.
Yeah, precisely. So it can live on your mobile phone in the form of an app, or if you use obviously a PC, laptop or iPad, anything else like that, then it will work with all of those as well. Remembers all of your passwords, and that means that if one of these accounts or services does get hacked or has a data breach, which sadly does happen from time to time, and mm-hmm. that password gets out there, it's of no use to anyone because it only works for that particular service. They then can't try and log into everything else with that same password.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, having the same password for everything, which is nice and easy to remember, means that if someone does somehow get your password, they can quite often get into perhaps your PayPal account, which obviously has access to your money, your Amazon account to buy things, or eBay, and lots of other accounts.
Mm-hmm. So would you recommend changing your passwords every so often?
I don't recommend changing so often. It's more important to have a unique and strong password. The problem with changing them often is we get lazy. So quite often we'll have a password. Let's say an awful example is Manchester United 1. If we're forced to change that, I'm just going to change it to Manchester United 2 because it sort of cheats the system. We feel like we've won, but it doesn't really help because it's not really any more secure. No. And if someone did find what your old password was, they could probably have a guess at what you've changed it to. The other thing I can recommend for security is something called multi-factor authentication. So this is where you have a password, which is something you know, but also something you have, which could be your mobile phone. So a really easy example of this is if you log on to online banking, as well as having a password, you'll normally need to use something else, like a chip and PIN reader, or they might send you a text message to your mobile phone.
Yes.
And this is getting used a lot more now with online services. So, for example, if you logged into Amazon, you could enable that there, which means if someone got your Amazon password, they will still need to have your phone, because if you log in from a new device, it will send a text message to your phone, and you'll need to enter that code. So these sort of services that you use online, and the example there with Amazon, they do a smart doorbell, for example. If someone did try to get in, they would need to have more than just your password. So that's a really easy way to protect yourself a little bit better. Have a look out there and see if all these sites and services you use have multi-factor authentication. It stops people from getting in just if they manage to get your username and password.
Oh, that's a good idea. I mean, I've come across it with my bank. I'll log in to do something, and if you set up something new, like a payment to a new person, it will send me a text message saying, is this really you? And here's a password to put in.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a great way of verifying that it is really you, because it's not just something you know, your password, but it's something you have. And typically nowadays, that's your mobile phone. It doesn't have to be a mobile phone, but that's the most common one. So if you're doing any kind of online shopping nowadays, you might have noticed when you buy certain things online, you get an extra page come up and it might send you a text to your phone and you have to enter that text. The verification number you've had, it's an extra step of security, and it's all for good. For good reasons, because that helps us be protected. If someone did steal our bank card, they can't necessarily use it straight away online, because you have that extra step there.
And any other advice would you give people to keep their devices safe at home?
I think that covers most of it, really. So just to review, coming back to secure passwords, enable multi-factor authentication when you can, keep your software up to date on your phone, any apps you have, and on your PC as well, and any devices, smart devices on there. Stick to a major brand if you can, and obviously do a bit of research. So have a look online and see what the reviews are like in terms of privacy and security. Mm-hmm. And for Internet of Things, sort of internet-connected devices, I'd again say, do you really need it? It might be nice to have a little ping or a notification if your toast is done or something like that, as you said, yeah. But do you really need that? It's just something else that's potentially an issue in your house.
Yeah, I do wonder sometimes. I think people buy gadgets because they're gadgets, and that's fair enough because people like that. But you say, do you really need an internet-connected baby monitor or an internet-connected washing machine? We really don't, I don't think.
Yes, well, you've caught me out there, Calvin, because I work in IT, and I was about to say I don't really have much in my house that is smart, but I do have a Wi-Fi connected washing machine. And you'll laugh at it, but I didn't buy it because of that feature. I bought it because it had great reviews, but I find it's very helpful that when my washing is done, it pings my phone and tells me. But like I say, I've got that guest Wi-Fi network, so I know it can't interfere with anything else, and I've got a strong password and all the other things, so I'm quite happy that pays off.
There's not much they could do with it. That's fair enough. Okay,
Not really, no.
No, but we are getting to the stage where everything's going to be internet connected, including our vehicles. I'm fairly certain before much longer we'll have a car that'll say, I've contacted the garage because the service is coming up and it's all been booked in. But
yes, and that's potentially great. As you say, there's some good features there. Perhaps they could report back to the garage and say there's a problem, and then that gets fixed, perhaps with a software rolled out over the internet. For example, the Tesla electric vehicles, they get updates just rolled out over the internet without you doing anything, and that adds new features. But you do have to worry about that, because that's just another way someone could potentially get into stuff. So right now you don't have to worry about your car getting hacked, because you can drive along and know that your brakes aren't going to suddenly come on or anything else happen like that. So there's definitely going to be a lot of stuff in the next 10 years about car security from an internet point of view as they all get connected.
Yeah, yet more things to worry about. But as you say, basic housekeeping, good passwords and plenty of them, and two-stage authentication, which is a good idea.
Definitely.
Well, thank you for that, Andrew. And if you do run into problems, always contact your local friendly IT people. They'll always help you out.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, so give them a call if you get stuck. If you get hacked, I feel very sorry for you, but it has happened to pretty much everybody at some point or another. So thank you, Andrew, for that. And we'll be talking to you again about some new idea, I suspect, in the new year.
Perfect. Thanks, Kelvin.
Thank you very much. And I'll say bye for now.
Bye-bye.